John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. We'll begin our reading at verse 1. Amen, amen, I say to you. The one not entering through the door into the fold or corral of the sheep, but the one going up from a different place or another way, that one is a thief and a robber. And the one entering through the door is shepherd of the sheep. To this one the doorkeeper is opening, and the sheep are hearing his voice, and he is calling his own sheep according to name, and he is leading them out. And whenever he should put his own sheep out, he is going before them. And the sheep are following him because they know his voice. And they should never, some texts have the future, they will never, notice the double negative, they will never follow a stranger, but they will flee or escape from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This proverb, notice the literal translation, it is not a parable. In John's writings in the Gospel of John, he never uses the word parable. It is a proverb. In fact, a poromia for proverb is the title in the Old Testament, the Septuagint version of the Proverbs. This proverb, Jesus spoke to them, but those ones did not know what it was which he was speaking to them. So this is a proverb. Verses 1 through 5 is a proverb. It, as a proverb, must be understood from a Jewish perspective. He is speaking to Jews. Chapter 10 is a continuation of chapter 9. This is not anything new. Remember, chapter 9 had to do with the man who was born blind receiving his sight. This was, according to Isaiah 35:5, the ministry signs of the Messiah, that he would heal the blind, and that through the physical miracles and signs that Messiah would do, that the non-believing Jews would see the physical evidence that he is the Messiah. The physical signs were a physical example of what the Messiah's spiritual ministry would be. That's why at the end of the chapter, chapter 9 that we left off with last week, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world in order that those not seeing might see, and those who see might become blind." And the Pharisees said, "So we are not blind also, are we?" And Jesus told them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but because you say we see, therefore your sin remains." So the miracle at the beginning of the chapter was an example of the spiritual ministry of Jesus, and the Pharisees did not believe that they needed to come to Jesus to see, that they believed that they could already see by the ministry of the law. Now these were leaders of the Jewish people. In order to understand this dialogue, because now in chapter 10 the Lord is continuing to speak to the same people, to the same Jewish leaders. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see that the end of chapter 9 is red letter, goes right into chapter 10, red letter. It's to designate for us that even though there's chapter divisions, which wasn't in the original message, that this is a continuous message. Now the Lord switches to leadership, which he puts in the form of being a shepherd. The first thing I want to explain to you and establish for you is that, number one, in the Old Testament, for the Jews, the term shepherd applied to God. The term shepherd applied to God. And I'll take you to Genesis 49:24 for that. Secondly, the leadership of Israel were described as shepherds, plural. They were the under-shepherds. And we'll see that from Ezekiel 34. We know that well-known Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Literally, roi is the word for shepherd in Hebrew, and it means it's a participle. The Lord is shepherding me. Who's the Lord? To Israel, the Lord is the Lord God. He is the shepherd. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 24, and I'll read that for you. Genesis 49, 24. This is when Jacob had called his sons. And as they were passing before him, he was pronouncing the blessing and curses upon them. In verse 22 of Genesis 49, he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, for he is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Of course, we know also the image of the stone. Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, according to prophecy. God is referred to as the stone. The mighty God of Israel is called the shepherd and the stone of Israel. And if you trace the word shepherd, that's just one verse, but if you trace the term shepherd in the Old Testament, you'll find it applies to two people. Singular, it applies to God who is the shepherd, and plural to the shepherds, making reference to the leadership of Israel. And for that, we go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, that whole section of Scripture in chapter 34 is making reference to the leadership of Israel. Beginning with Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Sounds like our day. Who feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor did you seek out the lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Kind of sounds like in our day. It could be applicable to the ministry in our day. The question often gets asked or stated amongst those who are in position of ministry that church attendance seems to be declining and people aren't coming to church out of disobedience. No, they're not coming to church because they're sick and never got healed. The shepherds did not heal, did not minister to, did not go after the lost, did not seek after the sheep. They did not shepherd them. What are shepherds supposed to do? Feed. They did not feed the flock. And they're called shepherds. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is amongst his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. So all of Ezekiel 34 is God, the chief shepherd, telling the under-shepherds, they have only fed themselves. They lived off the sheep. They fed off of the sheep. They took the wool off the sheep and clothed themselves, and they killed some of the sheep and ate the meat. And in so doing, they did not feed the flock of God. So we have Genesis chapter 49. Verse 24, where God is called the shepherd, and also in chapter 34, he calls him, of Ezekiel, he calls himself the shepherd, but he also calls the leadership of Israel shepherds, plural. That is what the Lord is making reference to by this proverb in John chapter 10. We have two things in John chapter 10. Number one, the true shepherd. Verses 1 through 3a. Verses 1 through 3a, the true shepherd. Secondly, in John 10, 3b through 5, we have the true sheep. The true shepherd or genuine shepherd and the true or genuine sheep that belong to the shepherd. Now, in Palestine in those days, they had walled corrals called sheepfolds. And all of the shepherds in the evening time would come and put all of their sheep inside one sheepfold. There was only one entrance into the sheepfold, and that was through a door, through an open door. It was just an opening. And they would plant thorn bushes all around the outside of the walls. They would build the walls up high so no animal could scale the walls or get into the sheep. Only one entrance and one exit, and that's this doorway. And a doorkeeper was hired to be the door at night. And he would keep the sheep from going out, and he would keep anything intruding from outside. In the mornings, the doorkeeper would step aside and allow each shepherd to stand in the doorway and call for his sheep. They had no markings, they had no taggings. When shepherds led their flock, the sheep became familiar with his voice. So a shepherd could stand in the doorway and he could call for his sheep. And only his sheep would respond because the other sheep are saying, "Nope, that's not the voice of my shepherd." And each shepherd would then stand in the doorway and call for his sheep. And as the sheep would come out, and as he stepped back and as they all came out, then he himself would go ahead of them. They would follow. He didn't drive them like cattle. He went ahead of them and led them in the proper way. So with this in mind, Jesus says, notice first of all, the true shepherd. First of all, the one who is not the true shepherd, verse 1, he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the one entering through the, not entering through the door of the fold of the sheep, but the one who is going over." Notice this person has two characteristics. The definite article "ho" goes with both participles, entering and going up. The one not entering through the door of the sheepfold, but the one who is going up from a different place, somewhere along the wall, this one is a thief and a robber. Not a true shepherd. A thief and a robber. They were described in Ezekiel 34. Here's the characteristic of the true shepherd. The one entering through the door is shepherd of the sheep. To this one, the doorkeeper is opening. So, a person who is not a true shepherd will not stand in the door and will not call out to the sheep. Number one, the doorkeeper knows that he's not a shepherd. And secondly, if he stands in the door to call for the sheep, they won't come because the sheep don't belong to him. So a thief and a robber has to find some different way to go up over the wall and get to the sheep. Not to feed them, not to minister to them, but to rip them off. He needs the sheep for his program. He needs the sheep for his finances. Whatever the case may be. Somebody suggested that coming up some other way is what is called marketing in the church today. But it is interesting that the true shepherd stands in the doorway and calls for his sheep by name, and they come. Number one, we'll see starting next week that the Lord's going to say that he's the good shepherd. So he's the one mentioned in Genesis 49 about being the Almighty God, being the shepherd, the good shepherd. The word good has a specific designation to it. Jesus is called the good shepherd, the one that is applied to God. But he's also making this application to false shepherds who come, plural. But it is interesting how the true shepherd, number one, if he's truly the Messiah, he will stand in the doorway and just call. Only his sheep will hear his voice and respond as the voice of the shepherd. So that's all Jesus did. He came and just called his sheep. False shepherds, those in leadership that do not represent the Lord, they will not stand in the doorway because the voice of the Lord is not ministering through them and touching and calling the sheep. They have to find another way to reach the sheep because they can't stand in the doorway. You don't know how many times I have heard testimonies from people in the ministry who have said, I had a church, I taught the word, nobody was interested. But I have found a marketing plan to build the church. Jesus would say, sit down, you're not a shepherd. Because if you minister from the Word of God and God has called you to do that, the shepherd will recognize his voice, not the voice of the human instrument, but they will hear from within their own selves the voice of their shepherd ministering to them. So if you can't stand in the doorway and give the word, if it doesn't work, sit down. See? Instead of finding marketing ideas to try to get those sheep out of there. You know? It doesn't work. True shepherds will stand in the door. And the sheep of the Lord will hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus himself is going to present himself not only as the good shepherd, but also as the door, the protector. But it is interesting that to the true shepherd who stands in the doorkeeper opens to him. There's two things going on here. First of all, the true shepherd will stand in the door, and secondly, the doorkeeper will open. Now, some people have believed that the doorkeeper is John the Baptist. He introduced Jesus as Messiah to Israel and as an instrument that is true. But the doorkeeper represents the Holy Spirit. The doorkeeper is the one who keeps the sheep. It is the Holy Spirit that opened the door through John the Baptist and through others, but it was the Holy Spirit through Jesus and upon Jesus that came before the flock of God. Now we know who the flock is. In this instance, the flock is Israel. Later in the chapter, Jesus will say, there are other sheep that are not of this flock that I also must bring in. That would be the Gentiles. Here's Israel. And the true shepherd is the one who enters through the door, and the doorkeeper is opening to him. The false shepherd is the one that's going up a different route. To steal. You might ask the question, or in your mind you might be asking, what's the difference between a kleptes, a thief, and a laestes, a robber? A thief is somebody who steals deceitfully, and a robber is somebody who steals forcefully. We got that in Ezekiel 34. They beat the sheep. They were cruel to the sheep. They were like dictators to the sheep. They did not go before the sheep to lead them by example and by protection and by comfort. Now the genuine sheep. I want to point out 9 things to you that are characteristics of people who are genuine sheep. Now I'm going to make a statement to you, and I'll repeat it later, but I want to make a statement to you, and this is very important. A person does not become a sheep by following the shepherd. You follow the shepherd because you are a sheep. That's what the text is presenting. A person is either a sheep or a goat. That's it. Only the people that belong to Christ. It's interesting. When we get into chapter 17, Jesus is going to pray to the Father and say, those that you have given to me, I have kept. They belong to the Father to begin with. Back in chapter 6, verses 37 and 39, Jesus said, all that the Father brings to me, I will not reject or cast out. And then he said in verse 44, he says, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you. If you are a sheep, you will respond to the shepherd. If you are not a sheep, you will not respond. Simple as that. But I'll repeat it again. You don't become a sheep, according to the Bible, by following the shepherd. And there are people who are trying to follow the shepherd, but they're goats. They won't do it. Can't happen. You don't become a sheep. You are a sheep who responds to the shepherd. Listen to these 9 things. First of all, in verse 3, to this one, the doorkeeper is opening. Notice the first thing. The sheep are hearing his voice. Not should hear. The sheep are hearing his voice. Not they ought to, or they should. They are. Secondly, and he, that is the shepherd, is calling his own sheep according to name. That's an attribute of the shepherd, but you'll notice that the sheep are named. You know, Rudolph, Dancer and Prancer. God knows us, his sheep, by name. Thirdly, and he leads them out. Not he should lead them, or he might lead them if they cooperate. He is leading them out. These are all present active indicatives. Facts. Next, and whenever he should put the sheep outside, he is going before them. The Lord's always in the lead. And the sheep are following him. Not should, but they are. Next, because they know his voice. Not they get to know, not that they learn to know. They know. They know his voice. Next, and they will never follow a stranger. Notice the double negative for never. Wow. Is it possible for one of God's sheep, one of the Lord's sheep, to be ripped off by a false teacher? No. Impossible. They will never follow a stranger. Ever. But, here's the next point, they will flee, escape from him. The reason? Here's our next point. Because they do not know the voice of strangers. Wow, what a presentation. Genuine sheep. They are hearing the voice of the Lord. He is going before them. They are following him because they know his voice. They are not listening to the voice of strangers because it's impossible for them to follow a stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. It's an interesting presentation because this proverb is in application to the blind man in chapter 9. The blind man had Jesus put mud on his eyes and then he was told to go wash. If this man was not a sheep, he would have said, "Why did you pack mud on my eyes? I already can't see. Now I got mud caked on my face. And then you want me to go down and wash. What a ridiculous thing to do." What did he do? He obeyed. He went and he washed. And he came seeing. Still not understanding everything that had happened. And then, I'll get to it in a minute. And then, later on, in verse 35 of chapter 9, when Jesus found him in the temple and he had been excommunicated, he says, "Do you believe into the Son of God?" And he says, "Who is he, sir, so that I can believe it?" It's like, I'm a sheep looking for my shepherd. Who is he? He's my healer. He's my cleanser. He's my protector, my provider. Jesus said, "You have seen him. And the one that's talking with you is that one." He says, "I believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. He's a sheep. He knew the voice of his shepherd. And he came and he responded. Others, at the end of chapter 9, they said, "Well, we don't need a shepherd." Jesus said, this is the reason, this is the judgment for which I came into the world. I came into the world so that people who are blind might see and those who say we see might be made blind. That those who are spiritually blind and hear the voice of their shepherd, they will come and be cleansed. They will hear his voice, they will follow him, and they will never listen to the voice of a stranger, ever. Now I want to bring this point up because the Bible teaches, and I hear it from the cult groups by saying that we are united and it's the people who call themselves Christians who got all these different kinds of churches and all these different denominations. And the cult groups say that they are united in their doctrine and in their association with one another. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19, Paul says it is necessary for there to be divisions in the church, so that those who are approved of God might become manifest. So in the church, we've got sheep and goats, all looking like and talking like the same thing. The wheat and the tares, all growing in together. Now for the person who really wants to know, all they have to do is get into God's Word and listen to what's being said, search the Scriptures to see if it's true. We were kidding earlier, but it's true. If Paul were to visit our churches today, he would say, "What is this? I corrected this 2,000 years ago. What are you guys doing?" I ministered on this 2,000 years ago. What are you doing? There must be division in the church so that people who are looking for the truth and looking for the genuine shepherd, I'm not talking about a person now, I'm talking about the Lord Himself, that we have His Word, we can search the Scriptures to see if it's true. Secondly, 2 John chapter 2, verse 19. 2 John 2:19, John says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would not have gone out from us. But in this, God has manifested that they are not of us. John says, John, not our church, but John himself, is that we teach the truth. We're the disciples. We're the apostles. And if people leave the truth to follow the error, the false teaching, it is a manifestation from God that they are not of God. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, the first couple of verses, God says that false prophets are going to come. They're going to come with their dreams and their prophecies and all these different things. And God says, even if their prophecy comes true, but it is not according to my word and it is not according to truth, they are false. And God says, I will bring these false prophets to see if you love me or not. It's God's way of manifesting who is of Him and who isn't. In my study of the Scriptures for the last almost 40 years, I see just the opposite of what is taught today. Today it's taught inclusive. If you want to become a part of the body of Christ, you receive Christ. That is true. You become a part of the body of Christ when you receive Christ. But I see it as a process of elimination. Is that many people say they're Christians. Many people say they're Christians, even in church. But they're not born of the Spirit of God. They're not responding to the voice of the shepherd. And I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about the Lord Himself. And we as pastors, or we as people in ministry, we have to work for the chief shepherd and we have to represent the chief shepherd, and we must do, as Peter said in 1 Peter 5, we must feed the flock of God. Period. Feed. Protect. Encourage. Feeding the flock of God so that not people would hear my voice, but people would hear the voice of their shepherd speaking to them from within. And they would develop and grow. And they would come to know His voice more and more. Now that's the proverb. And that's its application. That's the setting in which it was given. But it is interesting, the characteristics of the true shepherd. Well, when I give the word of God, nothing happens. So I had to find other means to build my church. A person is a thief and a robber. Just stand in the door. Let the Lord's voice, let the voice of God's Spirit speak to people's hearts. People don't respond, sit down. Simple. But we got to build God's kingdom for them. Jesus didn't say that when He came. Jesus didn't have a quota to meet. It wasn't after numbers. Sheep. There are people out there who are lost, spiritually lost. When we give the message of the gospel, those who are sheep, who are lost, will hear the voice of their shepherd and they will respond to Christ. You don't have to argue with them. They might fight against it for a while. In fact, even a Christian might get involved in movements and doctrines and teachings that are false, and they do it because they think, well, it must be right. But they know, instinctively, they know something's wrong. I just don't know what it is. This is not right. And we follow it for a while, and it's like you read the Word and you follow the Lord, and for some reason this doctrine or this teaching just doesn't fit in. And after a while, you realize it's not the voice of the Lord. because his sheep hear his voice. So it's a manifestation of who is sheep and who isn't. You know? And God himself, according to his word, manifests that by people's response to Christ. He's calling out his sheep right now. And his sheep will respond. It's not a matter of not responding. It's impossible. Everybody that has a heart for Christ will respond and they will receive him. It's as simple as that. The people who do not have a heart will not. And that makes our quote unquote job more enjoyable and peaceful because we just give the word. We scatter the seed. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, he says, take heed how you hear. It wasn't the effectiveness of the word, it was the condition of the heart. How the heart would respond. Yes?
So the sheep aren't Christians and they're not saved and they're not... All the sheep are then are those who have at one point responded positively with their heart towards Christ and are passing through this life waiting for that point in time where they'll make an actual response. I.e. they came into the world, were exposed to the light, made some sort of heart response to that light, and then 50, 20, 80 years down the road,
90.
That heart response now manifests itself.
Right.
Those people then are the sheep who responded positively, and they're not necessarily Christian or...
That's correct.
All the other things people apply to.
Right. Religiously, there's no connotation or label put on it. And also, every time we consider these things, you have to consider two things. And here's where we get into trouble. Is number one, it's the condition of a person's heart. Whosoever will, let him come. There's a free will process of the heart. We also have to figure in, as God's Word teaches, both Old and New Testament, that God knows us and He sees us before we're even conceived. He knows who's going to receive Him and who isn't. He knows who these people are, even before we're born. The Bible never teaches, nor does it ever state, that God chooses some people to be sheep and some people to be goats, specifically individually. He chooses sheep and goats, but He doesn't choose the individual ones to make up each category. And we have to keep that in mind, the full focus, not only from the human perspective, but also from the spiritual perspective of God, is that God calls His sheep, and His sheep will hear His voice. But there's also a free will process. So we look at it hindsight, as well as from God's point of view, and we realize that to God, everything's already over. He knows everything. He knows everybody. He sees the judgment. He sees who's going to be judged, who isn't going to be judged. He knows all people. How do you blend free will process with what is called election? And by the way, the word election in the Greek text, which is represented by the English, is only for the Jews. They are the eklektos. They are the chosen, the elect. They are the elect of Israel. It's a title. It's not labeled for Gentile Christians, but Jewish. In fact, it's not Christians at all. It's the Jewish people. They have been chosen, elect by God to be God's chosen people. That doesn't mean they're saved. So God called them out. He called Abraham out. That's why they're called the elect, eklektos, to call out. We are the church. We are the called out ones. So we're called. It's a different word, comes from the same root. And, yes, go ahead.
I know we don't believe in replacement theology, but then what are we then if we are spiritually Jews?
We aren't.
Well, I mean, what is that passage saying? That
in Romans chapter 2, when it talks about being a Jew spiritually, he's talking to Jews about being a true Jew. In other words, you might be born a Jew, you might be an Israelite, you might be physically circumcised, but until you are spiritually circumcised, You're not a Jew. Period. But he's not talking to Gentiles about becoming Jews. In other words, if you get circumcised in your heart, then you're a Jew. No, you're not. You're still a Gentile. But in the body of Christ. So he's speaking to Jews about what it means to spiritually be a Jew, not physically. But at the same time, he says in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So when a Jew passes from the law and the physical keeping of the law to the response of the Spirit and goes through a spiritual change represented by the physical change that he applied by the law, then he's saved. Then he enters into the church. And here's where all the problems come in, and this puts it in focus, like I said about Romans 14, the first hour. There is a believer, an immature believer who's a Jew that puts one day above another. So he goes to temple on the Sabbath and he goes to home church, the body of Christ, on Sunday. And so he's telling everybody, you guys got to keep the law. You know, it was a constant problem. Do you guys go to temple on Saturday? No, we don't do that anymore. Oh, you know, you got to go. Well, Paul says out of love, you got to tolerate him, right? He says he's weak in the faith. He can't let go of the religious system, but yet he's trying to follow the Lord at the same time. Well, out of growth, that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Out of growth, the believing Jew will leave Judaism. Now, even we here in America, we glorify and make heroes out of Jewish people, Hebrew people that receive Christ who still practice Judaism. You know? We say, well, we practice the Passover, and the Passover is a type of Christ. That doesn't have anything to do with Christ. He's the Passover lamb, so we celebrate Jesus, but we don't do the feast. See what I'm saying? That's all Judaism. That's all under the law. But we're kind of mystified by this. It's like, whoa, a Jewish person is better than a Gentile because they got the Old Testament and the New Testament. The rabbi's got his yarmulke, you know, and his robe, and he's got all the Jewish festivals that he celebrates in Hebrew, but he worships Christ. And it's like, well, that's a fulfilled Christian right there. No, it's not. The Bible says they got to come out of that. Eventually, they got to grow up spiritually and be like the Gentiles. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. But they still celebrate the feasts, which the book of Hebrews says is a shadow of Christ. It's not Christ. You're not celebrating Christ by doing that. So, the book of Romans is telling Jews, especially in Romans chapter 2, that you have the law, but do you think you're above the law? You know, we're the Jews. We have the law. You Gentiles are heathen. Wait a minute. You're a heathen too. Just because you're born a Jew and physically born an Israelite doesn't mean that you're true Israel. Not until you've been born of the Spirit of God. Then you're fulfilled. But then they have to come out of Judaism, which many of them don't do. They hold on to the old practices. Many do. Many come out of it. All right, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time in your Word, and we thank you for the great teaching of our Lord, our Shepherd, and we pray that it would bless our hearts, that it would give us comfort and give us encouragement to continue on, not using our freedom as freedom and license for the flesh, but rather responsibility in our walk in response to Christ. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.